This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A massive fireworks launched over a Colorado ski resort town, and it set the record for the world's largest aerial fireworks. The 2,800-pound shell flew 2,200 feet above the Steamboat Springs Winter Carnival before it burst. A sky of red is what the whole town saw. Tim Borden of the Steamboat Springs had headed up a team that had worked on the firework for over the last 7 years. It first attempted to set the world record last year, but it failed when the shell exploded inside the mortar without lifting off the ground. The good news, Guinness World Records representatives witnessed both attempts, and one of the reps said that she verified the shell launch Saturday. It was the world's largest. The firework was 400 pounds heavier than the previous record holder, which was 2,397-pound explosive. It was launched in the United Arab Emirates in 2018. By the way, during a ceremony for the launch to present to Borden and his team, they showed the tenacity and perseverance in coming back and applauded them for that from last year's failed attempt.
62 inches wide, 6 feet, 2,800 pounds, lifted in the air almost more than a half a mile. When it goes off, it honestly looks like a movie effect on top of a mountain, Steamboat Springs, like a nuke went off the way it goes. The lift charge. That's the lift charge, but you haven't even heard the lift yet. It's so far away. That's the lift. But it's already almost all the way to zenith there. And now, when you hear the scream go up, is when it blows. Now wait for the concussion. That's how far away that thing is. Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. Maybe the greatest thing ever.
Our next guest is a Colorado-based fireworks expert who made headlines this past weekend after launching a 2,800-pound firework 2,200 feet into the skies over Steamboat Springs, Colorado on Saturday night, setting a new Guinness World Record. Please welcome, from Steamboat Fireworks, Tim Borden.
Greatest American alive. You're doing the Lord's work. You're all that is man, Tim Borden.
I think you're building me up a little bit.
Oh, my. Listen, you just built and fired the Guinness World Record, world's largest mortar, 62-inch shell, 2,800 pounds, 2,200 feet out of a 26-foot deep mortar tube. How much black powder to lift that? Almost 3,000 pounds.
No, we put a high-grade military class 1 grade gunpowder in this thing. It's a special mix that we put together, and we had about 180 pounds of this mix with it. Last year we used
180.
A little bit too much, and that's what blew up the firework inside the mortar.
Right.
But it damaged the mortar a little bit. Now keep in mind, this mortar, to be safe, I had it built up in Washington. It's 2 inches thick in steel. We used about 58 pages of engineering from a special engineer out of Longmont. Eric Krug was on our team. And it weighed 7 tons, and they brought it down from Washington. We did the final welding and then buried it. Ed MacArthur, another member of our team, buried the thing 26 feet underground. And that's really a sort of a safety factor so that like last year when it blew up, it wouldn't send, shrapnel into the crowd. Now, we're a mile away from the closest people. We had the state fireworks marshal present, and, of course, our local fire department. We went by all of the federal regulations that are in place, although asking about some of them, they didn't have any regulations for something as big.
Of course not. They couldn't.
A lot of it's experimental.
Sure. Well, listen, as a man like yourself who enjoys the explosion, the fire, all the things that make life worth living, I probably go to 3 or 4 different fireworks extravaganzas every single year. Like, there's a bunch of shooters out here in the Kansas City and Missouri area, lovingly known as the Dr. X team. And after 4th of July is over, everybody brings their homemade. It's all the pros. All these guys are licensed. And there's probably a 3,000-person way out in the country show that is unbelievable. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. Goes on for an hour straight, and it's unbelievably large. So I'm a fan.
I know the Dr. X fellows. They came to our show last year when our firework failed. Their reputation is very strong for what they call bottom shots. Unbelievable loud fireworks that go off very close to the ground. These guys are really amazing. They make all of their own fireworks.
Oh, yeah. No. And I'd never seen the cylinder mortars like that. They were really amazing fireworks. I mean, anytime you go to a fireworks show and a guy in an ultralight flies over and they have the fake strafe over the water, I'm like, what in the goddamn is happening today? And that's the first time I'd ever seen the water fireworks to shoot across the water, land, and then change once they're in the water.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do with these fireworks, and those guys are really experts at it.
Listen, I own a few flamethrowers. I'm a big explosion fan. We're going to need to be friends, you and I, Tim.
Great.
By the way, let's get your background. You just got the Guinness World Record, the biggest firework ever shot, and the footage is amazing. It really does look like end of the world nuclear detonation, and it's not lost on me. We were pointing out that you can see it travel almost to its apex, and you still haven't even heard the concussion go off of the lift charge. That's how far away the camera shot is.
Yeah, we put Doppler radar on the edge of the mortar to measure the speed of it, and we put a special device that Eric made underneath the shell to measure the burst pressure, which means the amount of force that's sending the firework up. And the reason it took 7 years for this project is we started with smaller fireworks, and measuring the burst pressure and the speed, it helped us determine the thickness of the shell and the amount of powder we could put in it and the weight we could send up. So this thing, I called a friend of mine, Jim Widman. We both grew up in Darien, Connecticut, but didn't know each other back then. And I thought I could make this thing in the first month after I talked to him. He convinced me that we were going to have to start small and using that data get bigger and bigger. I think another thing that, the Dr. X guys and everybody would tell you is that we found a venue where I live here in Steamboat Springs, Ski Town USA, I might add.
Sure.
Where the officials worked with us. Now, you could go to a lot of towns in this country, and they'd find 15 ways to tell you that they weren't going to let you pull this off. And in Steamboat Springs, we're a little bit more lighthearted about these things. And they were all behind us for all 7 years. Hey, they helped us with this thing.
As a guy from Kansas,
so that we were legal.
As a guy from Kansas, it didn't go unnoticed the lighthearted nature of Colorado, first to legalize weed next to us. You guys have always been a more fun state. You got the mountains, you got the weed, you got snowboarders, you got explosives. Here's what I was wondering is, there's a lot of snow on that mountain. I can't believe there wasn't an avalanche once that thing went off.
Yeah, and we had about 2.5 feet, 3 feet of snow in just a few days before this thing. It was interesting because we could not have fired that shell either the day before or the day after we did. And during the day, it was sunny for the first time in about 4 days. When we got up there, the fire marshal and the state fire marshal told us they weren't going to let us shoot it if the wind got higher than 20 miles an hour. And they told us that about 15 minutes away in Hayden, Colorado, the wind was blowing at 36 miles an hour. So we had a very short window.
Yeah.
Once we fired this firework, the wind picked up. We had a blizzard going about 10 minutes later, which wouldn't have allowed us to fire the shell. If you fire a shell like that in high wind, lots of bad things can happen. But one of the worst things is people can't see it.
Right. But at 20 miles an hour, I would have thought to myself, this thing weighs, almost 2,500 pounds. I'm sorry, 2,800 pounds. Almost a car. And so at that velocity, with that much weight, I just find it hard to imagine that a 20-mile-an-hour wind can do anything to it.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's going 300 miles an hour. But the problem you have to think about is once it explodes, all of the smaller effects and that are on fire, they are then much lighter.
Gotcha.
We had 340 6-inch shells inside there that all blew up as well, and they send particles. You know, the other thing I'd mention that people have asked me about is toxicity and the environmental impacts of this. And I want to tell everybody that there were no toxic chemicals used in this firework. Everything gets burned up anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Even before the firework would go off, a person could actually eat a small amount of everything that goes into this firework.
Listen, let me shorten this discussion. If you raise the question, what about the toxic chemicals in the world's largest firework you just shut off, you're probably a terrorist or a communist of some sort, and I don't want anything to do with you. I can't even give them an answer. That's a ridiculous question. The glory is yours.
We agree, but you know, there are people, I'll tell you what, Johnny, there are people that you could send them a gift and they'd complain about the packaging.
That's right.
You know, in a big crowd like this. So 99.9% of our fans were all behind us. We had, I think it was about 20,000 people down at the bottom of the mountain, and everybody was cheering.
Yes.
We sent a couple of letters, you know, this next week, and people complained about scaring the wildlife. It was
I
no
bet it did.
Than a big crack of thunder.
That's, you know what? But that's the only answer you can give them is they're like, what about, I bet you scared the wildlife. And the only answer is, yeah, I bet it did. I bet it really did. It's, listen,
this is
what a great thing you did. And all kidding aside, like, you gotta understand, like, I stayed in town this year instead of leaving and traveling a bit over Christmas, New Year's, to the point where I realized there was no New Year's Eve fireworks in the neighborhood. And I arranged, like, five of us went around. It took us 2 days to collect all the fireworks we could possibly find. We had to get a boat to go out into an island in the middle of a lake, load the whole thing, fire it ourselves at midnight, and it was about 8 degrees outside. I'm serious about this. I've got a place we call Disgrace Land. I've got a six-inch, I may or may not have a six-inch mortar tube buried in the ground in a quarter-inch steel that somebody may have or may not have taught me how to do gas mines, you know, with 3 gallons of gas.
Yeah, those are great. You know, the other thing for people to understand is a big firework like this, you cannot transport down the highway. And, you know, I was just my shop is where I live is but 3 miles from where we set this thing off. And so we didn't violate any of those terms either. We came down a county road.
You guys are great.
I'm not in commerce. Everything we do, I've been doing the fireworks for the city for 20 years. I've never charged a penny. Everything was donated with this firework. All of our materials and the consultant I used, it was absolutely no cost to the city. There were no taxpayer dollars involved. Everything was free to the public.
Listen, I think you're a goddamn American hero. Steamboat Fireworks, tell me this. What do you guys do? Do you do professional shows only, or are you also a wholesaler?
No, never would sell. I've never sold a single firework. Everything I do is volunteer. Everything I do is for the benefit of my little town of Steamboat Springs.
What do you do for a living? Where do you get this? Where are you getting your money?
That's from the bank.
Listen, I can't even. Clearly, you're not. I understand wanting to be private about what it must have cost to research, develop, pay for, make this happen. This entire idea of a 3,000-pound, 6-foot-wide shell that has to be shot out of a 26-foot mortar tube buried in the ground on top of a mountain. That's not chump change. That's not weekend gambling money. That's for real money. And this is what you do. I mean, what do you have a business beyond this, or is fireworks all you do?
No, fireworks is just a hobby. I'm in the banking business. I have ownership in quite a number of banks in 3 states around here, and sold a few years ago the largest foundry in the world. We make gray iron castings, and we have foundries in Germany, England, Mexico, and the United States. And I've been very fortunate in my life, and so I'm sharing some of my resources with our town.
Well, let me tell you, I had a miniature foundry yesterday at Disgraceland. A friend of the railroad may have dropped off a couple bags of thermite, and we were practicing with some clay pots, a stump, and some sparklers to see how we could gut the stump. Pretty amazing, I would say.
We've got to get together sometime. You know, I think you and I have the same sort of pursuit.
Yes, absolutely, man. Are you kidding me? I've got a flamethrower that'll dump 3 gallons of gas in 6 seconds. And this Friday, Valentine's Day, we're letting a girl, lady come in who went through a very mean divorce with a very bad guy. And we're going to get the mannequin in the front yard of the radio station and let this thing rip. We're going to let people dispose of their terrible marriage. By the way, this is a great idea for you. You should offer somebody on Valentine's Day to load their wedding dress up in one of these shells and detonate it.
Never thought of that. Not so sure it would be very popular around here. But, you know, Johnny, you're talking to me about all these fireworks, and I thought this was the Johnny and Nikki show. I haven't heard a thing from Nikki about fireworks.
Oh, she's terrified.
I'm terrified. I literally am that person to watch from my car maybe two cities away. But I appreciate what you do.
Yeah.
I'm just a chicken.
Thanks.
She's not the fun one. She's fun in many ways. She's a good drinker.
I'm a
likes
chicken
to party, likes rock and roll, but blowing stuff up's not her thing.
Well, you need to come next year. Steamboat Springs puts on this winter carnival. We've got all sorts of events in the streets, and then it ends with on Saturday night with this big fireworks display, and I think you both enjoy it.
Are you kidding me? I'll be there. You what? So tell me, what's your situation? Are you married?
Of course, I'm married. I've got six grandchildren and two adult children. They're all here for the fireworks.
Nice, of course, because you're the coolest grandpa ever. Yeah. Did you, who pulled the trigger? Who actually got to send the signal?
Well, now, Johnny, think about that. Who paid for this whole thing?
Your wife did.
No, my wife doesn't know how much I paid for.
That's a good man right there, of course. I just didn't know. You know, you never know what you got to do.
Yeah. My wife is very supportive of the whole thing, and she'd rather not know what I put into it in terms of the dollars.
But that's a wonderful lady.
I get the privilege, you know, there's four of us on the team, but I get the privilege of pressing that button, and it's really
exciting. Sure it is, man. Now, what about cakes? Are you going to stick with doing ones like this, or do you ever build cakes? Because I've been really into those lately. Not just the big mortars, but just those super fast-firing, like, you know, some of those cakes are amazing, like 4 and 5 minutes long.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. I buy a lot of fireworks from China. I get them through a company up in Wyoming called Flying Phoenix. And we haven't ever made any cakes, but what we're thinking about doing now to follow up, we've made the biggest shell that this area would permit because of what they have, the fallout distances that are required. And so we're going to get back into doing these special shells that have designs in them.
Nice.
You know, the smiling face and Mickey Mouse and all this other kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And think of something rather unique and see if we could put that up in the air.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Are you kidding me? You already know. You need a great big golden eagle. That's a pleaser. Out there on the mountain, anything like depending on how intricate you can make it, you know, obviously a flag is a big crowd pleaser, but just, man, there's so much stuff you can do. Dude, imagine doing a giant Christmas tree with different colored Christmas balls on it and lights on it.
Yeah, we'll have to give you a call when we get ready to start designing this thing, and you can give us some ideas for it.
Listen, I'll come up and annoy you to death. Now, Jake said that you're also you ride motorcycles, too. You come up to Sturgis?
Yeah, I've been to Sturgis about 5 times, but my son currently races in the Baja Series, and 2 years ago he came in second in overall in the 200, in the 250, the 500, the 400, and the 1,000, and he just finished the 1,000 a month and a half ago. They came in fourth. So he and I started riding when we were much younger. Some of the more exciting rides we took, we traveled once. We air freighted our bikes over to France, rode down to Libya, and then rode across the desert about 500 miles south
of the
Mediterranean, all the way out to the Atlantic Ocean across the Sahara.
That's a great run.
That was a tough one.
We just did Cabo. 2 years ago, we rode from Kansas City to Cabo San Lucas and back.
Yeah, that's a long ride. We went from Steamboat Springs to Panama.
You win.
Cabo.
You win, completely win. Look, you went through Colombia. Yeah. You know, you got down to the Central and South America, and that's a whole other thing, man, to be able to make that run with fixers and know how to get through the right places and who to talk to and how to make that happen. That's a real tricky run. Credit to you, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Johnny, my son and I learned a lot about these third world countries, and as we've gotten into some of them, and the first thing they'll tell you at any hotel is you have to lock your motorcycles
in
your bed at night. I mean, a lot of these places are very dangerous. The other thing we've learned, we wear Kevlar suits, but we wear Swiss Swiss flags on everything.
Yes.
Americans in a lot of these countries aren't as popular
as we once Swiss were. Also. Yeah. No, that's very true.
Yep. Low profile at night. Get in early. Don't make a lot of noise at the bars.
Right.
You have to be very, very careful in some of these countries.
That's it. You know, and then the simple stuff, like a please and a thank you, go a very long way with the local population.
Yeah, that's true. You've got to be careful about getting very much money out in front of me.
Of course.
They'll follow you home.
Sure. So did you do Australia? Did you go all the way across the island or across the continent?
13,500 miles in Australia. Took us about a month to get around there. That's a beautiful country, but you can ride for hours and hours. We went to we were invited to go to what they call cattle ranch, cattle station. We saw the mailbox off the highway and thought, wow, this isn't too far. From the mailbox to the main house was 150 miles.
That's fantastic. That's man. We did Fairbanks to Kansas City. The longest run I ever made was Sturgis. And then we airshipped the bikes to Anchorage, rode them to Fairbanks, and then Fairbanks back to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a great ride. And Fairbanks is a beautiful place. I was up there hunting last year. I got a 62-inch moose, brought it back.
I got to tell you, a moose scared me to death riding my motorcycle on the Alcan because I didn't realize how fast they were. So I could see it on the side of the road, and I think, well, I'm just going to go on by. And I spooked it as it went by, and that thing jumped 3 feet in the air and took off at a dead run and damn near passed me.
Yeah, they'll run you down. And they particularly don't like dogs. You don't want to be around them with dogs. They interpret that as a wolf, which is about their only enemy.
You, I'm telling you, somewhere along the line, we're commingled genetically. We are family at some point.
Yeah, we'll have to get together sometime. Where do you live, Johnny?
Here in Kansas City. So just over in Shawnee.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so listen, we're going to ride through. I think this year we're going to do the Mississippi River run and take it easy after Sturgis and run from like Minnesota to New Orleans. But we definitely roll through Colorado all the time. So let's stay in touch, man. If you're just joining the show, this guy, fantastic, Tim Borden, just got the Guinness World Record for the world's largest fireworks, 62-inch shell that weighed 2,800 pounds, 2,200 feet out of a 26-foot-deep mortar tube. It is an amazing video. We'll throw it up on all our social media as well. But, man, if you come through Kansas City, stay in touch with us, man. I'll grab the guys I know from Dr. X, and maybe we can all get together.
Those guys know us. They've been here. And if you're going to Sturgis, let me know. I typically go up there. I've got things there.
Listen,
and I go up and see my friend.
Do you know Mike Ballard from the Full Throttle?
I've met Mike Ballard because my friends they own a big hotel, Cadillac Jack's.
Sure.
Deadwood.
Come over to the Throttle. Jesse is my best friend, Jesse Dupree, and then Mike Ballard, and we did the TV show, and I narrated the TV show.
Yeah, I have you been to the Hell's Angels Ranch up there?
I've been to the clubhouse over off Main Street.
Yeah, okay, that's where they sell their stuff.
No, not the one where they sell on Main Street. I'm talking like two blocks off over past the police station.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
I represented them. I came to Steamboat as the public defender and represented one of their club members years and years ago down in Hot Sulphur Springs. And So they back then, when they knew me well, they'd let me come to their ranch.
Yeah, see, that's a little further out. I just went over to meet Sonny when he had his second book came out, when Dead in 5 Seconds came out after Hell's Angels Forever. And then we'd go up there to do the radio show and stop by the clubhouse, and then you'd sit and talk with Sonny for a moment. And but I haven't seen him in years now, so I think he's down in Cave Creek, Arizona.
Yeah, he is. I don't think he travels so much, and, you know, he has that throat cancer.
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
He's in.
I know. And he was always great to us.
Yeah, nice guy. Well, listen, let's stay in touch. You know, we ought to cross paths here someday.
Well, we'll be in Sturgis for that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at the Full Throttle doing the show live. I'll make sure Jake's got your number. And let's, man, I'm sure that those guys will show you some great hospitality. We'll all find a way to get together.
That'd be great. I look forward to it.
All right, Tim. Thank you, brother. Stay there. Congratulations. See? We know some of the same people.
Now you've got a nice new friend in Colorado.
How amazing is that? She just sold the world's largest foundry.
It wasn't lost on me.
Something tells me that's more than like $10,000.
I don't know.
Like, that's a lot. That's
that could be a friend with a job.
I don't think he's held an actual job. I don't think he needs a job anymore. No.
He's held a job before.
Hey, man, you got an opening for Ask Gesser?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.